Hi everyone, this is Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Robert Carlock, who wrote Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, starring Tina Fey. Hi Robert.
How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for taking time to talk to me. I just love the movie. It was just so...
Oh, thank you.
It was so great. I love the tone, I love the setting, and the world, the universe. How did you get this gig? This is based on a book, but how did you come on board to the project, or was this your idea to adapt?
It wasn't. It was Tina and her producer Eric Gurian's idea, and I guess I was in her line of sight when she bought it. I think she and I worked together for years, and I think she thought it was a good match. Gave me the book to read, which is this sort of great, funny lens into this unimaginably complicated and sort of exciting world. I jumped at it. So I'm just lucky to have Tina in my life because it was a really cool thing to tackle.
So you were a writer on 30 Rock, and is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And how is this different?
Yeah, I was a showrunner with Tina.
You were the showrunner. How is a feature different as far as coming up with jokes or storylines, or is it the same as being in the room and working on a show?
No, I mean, it's a lot different. I mean, starting with the fact that there isn't really a room. I mean, I was lucky to have people like Tina and John and Glenn, the directors, giving notes. They're all very smart and they're all writers. A lot of it is the sort of room of one's own kind of work. Which is very different from writing for TV, where you're constantly in a room with other people and a constant collaboration. And, of course, you're trying to tell a story from A to Z, as opposed to looking at a whole season, say, and looking at kind of seven movies worth of material over the course of a season and saying, okay, what is our A to Z and then our double A to double Z? It's a very different thing. And in terms of tone, this is a very different tone than 30 Rock. I do think the movie is funny. I'm glad you like it. But it's a new place for me as a writer, and I think Tina does some new things and does them very well in the film as well. So it wasn't just a different format and a different length and a different way of writing. It was a different kind of thing on the page as well, which was a good challenge, but a fun one.
How do you balance that, the drama of a war zone with the comedy?
Yeah.
I mean, she's so funny in it. And I've got to say, I've worked as a journalist for years, and this is exactly, you captured exactly what it's like to be in a newsroom or in the field with a bunch of nutty expats who just want to get drunk. And I think that's oh my gosh, I got flashbacks myself to spending time overseas. I think it's necessary to balance the sad kind of dramatic reporting you're doing, but how did you balance that in the writing?
One thing that was so interesting when I was working on this, and people say, oh, you're doing a feature, and tell friends or industry people, I'm doing a kind of Afghanistan comedy, certainly the shorthand to describe it, and people would kind of raise their eyebrows, or good luck with that, and yet, there's the book, and Kim, whom I got to know pretty well, and I talked to a lot of her friends and her friends' friends, and I some friends of mine who were journalists over there, some friends of mine who were soldiers and Marines and airmen over there and in Iraq as well, just trying to paint a broad picture for myself. And when I told them I was writing an Afghanistan comedy, their reaction was always, oh, I've got so many great, hilarious stories for you.
Awesome.
That was empowering to know, okay, it's not just Kim isn't the only person who has this lens. When people live somewhere, I think funny things happen, and sometimes absurdly funny and sometimes darkly funny and sometimes just dark, and that's life. Kim and her book were able to I think empower me to say, okay, it's all right to try to write a comedy about Afghanistan, just as MASH or Catch 22 or any number of things have taken that point of view on war. So to answer your question, it's tricky, but it always feels real to me when a movie or a book or whatever kind of has a foot in both camps.
Where did you guys shoot, and what was that like on set? Did you rewrite, or were you on set?
I was on set. I mean, one of the, you know, having had some other movie experiences, nothing that got made, but, you know, the writer is usually not a big part, and John and Glenn and you know, of course, Lauren and Tina were incredibly inclusive, and I was there on set. We shot in New Mexico, and which, you know, was kind of an amazing thing to watch. The DP and our set designer and John and Glenn, you know, I turned New Mexico into Afghanistan. And it was sort of funny. I think they discovered that there's sort of a not terribly large, but sizable expatriate Afghan community in New Mexico because of the sort of high desert similarity to a home nation. So we were able to find a lot of real Afghan extras and you know, speakers and even though there was a guy who ran an import-export business through Afghanistan from Afghanistan, and I think that a lot of the set decoration and stuff was from Afghanistan. And yeah, I was there almost every day except for going back for some kid birthdays and that kind of thing that I was not allowed to miss and didn't want to. But yeah, and it was you know, John and Glenn have a very they have a vision and they execute it, but they were certainly open to day to day my thoughts. But they, you know, when we first met them, this isn't the question you asked, but you know, going back to where you were asking before, this is a tricky tone. And when Tina and I first met them, it was so clear that we were on the same page from the very beginning, that we all wanted to make the same movie, which you know, doesn't always happen.
I love it. It's I'm being a journalist. I always watch movies about, especially female journalists, and I know I can't wait to see it again. It's and I've already told I told my friend who's stationed in Afghanistan. I sent her the trailer. I said, "This is you've got to see this because this is basically."
Oh, really? Yeah, is she in the armed services or?
No, she's a stringer. She's a freelance reporter.
Oh, really? Just, she's there. Wow.
She is. She's been there for 8 years, and I can see on Facebook, it's everything you were describing. It just really takes a toll on you because being an American, you know, out of sort of, you have to kind of create your own community.
Yeah, everyone I spoke to kind of, you know, I think some people don't get out. You know, we need those people. But so many of the people I spoke to said they just, and, you know, including Kim, got to a point where there's sort of a fork in the road, and this is, you know, what happens to Kim in the picture as well, where, you know, either that's your life forever, or you try to reclaim some of your old life, and I remember hearing a story about a woman who'd been a camera woman, which is, you know, fairly rare in the industry, but had been working just her whole life, you know, from one hotspot to another, and of approaching retirement and was taking up surfing because she had all these miles, all this money, and sort of no one to do anything with. She had not built a life for herself in the traditional sense. So she was going to travel the world and surf alone. And I thought, oh, that's a different
thing,
you know.
It certainly is. It really, and then you captured it so well. And it's so funny. I wanted to ask you, there's so many great jokes, but the jokes just go on and on, like sort of feel like, it just seems like as a writer, it must've taken you so long to sort of work out all the beats. Cause it just is so funny. But there's one joke in particular I want to ask you about, if you could just describe how you formulate that or how you come up with the beats. There's a joke 4-10-4, which is you're a 4 in New York, you're a 10 in Afghanistan, you're a 4 back in New York. How did you come up with that idea? Cause it's so fresh, and then come up with the back and forth, that Tina Fey does with the other characters.
You know, 4-10-4 was a phrase that I'd heard from a military friend. I wish I had invented it. But you know, one of the sort of in a movie about transformation, I thought one of the, and you know, and about a woman entering a very male world, that idea of cobble-cued 4-10-4, which is something that came up a lot with a lot of the women journalists and producers I spoke with, the idea of literally a number is assigned to you, you know, going to this other place, you change your number, it's like changing your grade. I just thought that there was a sort of brutal clarity to that, and I knew that calling Tina Fey a four to begin with is ridiculous.
It's so funny, and, though.
And that's sort of part of the, I guess, the, casual cruelty of the turn of phrase. Not knowing that it was going to be Billy Bob, which is just amazing. I thought that as soon as I heard that phrase and thought of, okay, calling Tina a four and having this figure of authority whom she wants to impress, but also she's still very much out of her depth at that point in the picture. And it's something that, you know, as a feminist and everything else, that both Tina and the character, more importantly, probably wouldn't take under ordinary circumstances. But the only thing she can think to object to is the four part of it, as opposed to the kind of ranking of women part of it. And you know, immediately that was a relationship that I thought was very important, that kind of the someone taking her under his wing, ultimately. And I wanted to start them in that and both of them kind of one hand washed the other by the end of the movie, and I wanted to start them in that kind of confrontational and combative place where he doesn't trust her or trust the embed program and is kind of going out of his way to knock her down. And you know, her trying to stay on her feet and show that she's tough and can take it and can roll with it, but she could not object to being called a four.
Well, it's such a perfect place to put it, because you think she thinks he's talking about some military code that she might have to learn that she's not familiar with, and then it's this insulting categorizing
exactly,
thing because she's a woman. But
am I about to learn something helpful? Yeah, exactly.
I loved it. I thought, wow, it must have taken forever to get that joke together because it just rolls out so perfectly. So one last question for you. What was the biggest challenge, or what was one part of this process? Maybe it was in the adapting, like figuring out what you had to cut, because the book is obviously going to be so much longer than a script would be. What was one moment where you were like, I just from a writer's standpoint, to help people out there who would love to adapt something like this? And
there was a lot of that, because I went back and I probably read the book, you know, half a dozen or more times. Every time I go back, I'd say, oh god, that's a detail I wish I could incorporate. There's a whole half of the book two-fifths of the book that takes place in Pakistan, and very early this can't be bouncing back and forth between two places that I need to get my head around and need to try to let the audience get their head around. So every time I went back to the book and saw little details that just didn't fit in anymore, it was kind of painful, because it's all so good and so full of specificity and wonderful strangeness and all the stuff that we're trying to pack into the picture. So it's constant moments like that, I guess.
How do you know what to cut? You just have to trust your gut feeling about it, or do you talk to somebody?
And you write a first draft that's 300 pages instead of 115, and you realize, you know, you got some work to do.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. It was so great talking to you. And
thank you.
I'd love to talk to you again. That was awesome. I love the movie. I can't wait to see it again, too.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate that. And anytime you want to talk about Kimmy Schmidt or anything, just give us a call.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.